tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. Call 1-800-958-6699. That's 1-800-958-6699. Again, 1-800-958-6699.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
Reporting from the front lines of technology for the last 23 years. Yes, you've tuned into Tomorrow. I am Dave Graveline. Thanks for joining us. Erasmo and Horatio in the control room here in the studio with me.
Chris Graveline.
And we've got Joe in Atlanta and Beth in Naples and soon H in New York. I mean, it's all just, we're going to be spread out everywhere, bringing you the latest in consumer tech, regardless of where we are and where you are. Just stay tuned each and every week. And I hope you subscribe to our free podcasts as well. You can hear whole hours and not miss any of our three-hour show every week. And, of course, you can do that and hear it also at our site at intotomorrow.com, where you can sign up for our free tech newsletter. We hope you do that as well. We've got tech news and commentary in the first segment of every hour, and then jumping to your calls.
So, you know, to give more fuel to these companies that are trying to get these internet connections to rural areas out, you know, and you know, other countries and stuff, this news story came out that the ACE submarine cable that provides most of West Africa with internet connectivity cut out on March 30th. Now, the breach came off the coast of Mauritania, resulting in significant connectivity drops for at least 10 neighboring countries. Mauritania itself was offline for nearly 48 hours before connectivity was restored. Hmm. Other countries had enough satellite connections to route around the downed cable, but they still saw significant disruptions in internet access for most of that weekend. Outages like this are a reminder of exactly how fragile the internet's infrastructure still is, particularly in poorer regions. Now, when a major cable gets cut, every other connection has to strain to pick up the slack. And if there's no other infrastructure to rely on, connectivity simply drops out. So, of course, lacking investment and these companies that are trying to do these with drones and everything, the internet becomes less reliable for an entire region.
And that brings us back to last week on the show. We talked about SpaceX trying to make use of 4,425 satellites for more rural areas all around the world. So that might be another way to solve that problem. Well, and, of course, HughesNet, but they don't cover the whole planet.
Well, yeah, and wasn't it, I mean, I don't know, I'm not sure, wasn't it Facebook that I guess was talking about deploying drones or blimps or something to beam internet down to these, you know, remote areas that otherwise wouldn't have internet connectivity.
Interesting. The number of apps available in the App Store shrank for the first time ever in 2017, but that's a good thing, and here's why. Starting in September of 2016, Apple told developers it would be removing old apps that had not been updated with compatibility for more recent devices. Gee, we can relate. Or no longer complied with current review guidelines. Apple also created new App Store guidelines, limiting apps created from commercialized templates or app generation services, and officially banned virus scanning apps. Plus, it cracked down on clone and spam apps, all of which contributed to the company's App Store cleanup efforts. While the number of App Store apps has declined, Google Play growth has accelerated. In 2017, Google Play reached 3.6 million available apps, a growth of 30%. Android developers released 1.5 million new apps in 2017. That's up 17%. And some of them might actually be useful. When we talk about what's your favorite app of the week, we want you to tell us at 800-899-INTO. Some of them might be useful. Others, which typically Chris likes to get, are time wasters or games or just things to be fun. So you can do that. But even though Apple has removed a whole lot of the things that are apparently not so productive.
Now, because people just can't behave themselves online and everyone is a tough guy behind the keyboard, Twitter announced that it will attempt to more actively measure and combat bad behavior on its service. After facing a barrage of criticism over the toxicity of its community, they will make its rules of conduct more visible. Twitter announced its plans to improve its platform after a deluge of criticism as users complained about issues like harassment and misinformation. CEO Jack Dorsey tweeted last week, "Research has shown that when institutions publish rules clearly, people are more likely to follow them."
Really?
Yeah.
Would that be the rules that go for pages and pages and pages, and all everybody ever does is just accept?
Yeah.
Nobody reads them.
Yeah. Now the
and he thinks they're going to follow them. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you know, of course, I can get into a political discussion about that, but we won't right now. The exact mechanism of the test isn't clear. The researchers write that they cannot describe it in detail now without jeopardizing the integrity of the results.
All right.
But say they received approval from two university ethics committees and filed the outline of the plan with a neutral third party. They will work only with anonymous data.
Interesting. Yeah. I wonder how that's going to work out.
Yeah, we'll see.
Because nobody, including the other anti-social networks like Facebook, wants to get rid of millions of users. So that's what they're basically saying they're going to do. They're just going to shut several people down if they're not following the rules.
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy. A Frost and Sullivan forecast suggests global electric vehicle sales will grow to 1.6 million this year, up from 1.2 million last year, before climbing to 2 million in 2019. More efficient battery technology, the addition of more charging stations, increased interest among major car makers, and falling prices, finally, are all tailwinds for sales of electric vehicles. Do you have an electric vehicle? And if so, do you like it? Are you sorry you got it? Does it do everything you want? Does it sneak up on people very quietly? Or do you have any desire to have an electric vehicle? Let us know at 800-899-INTO.
I'm old-fashioned. I like cars that sound like cars.
Well, a lot of electric vehicles now have apps that will make them sound louder.
Well, see, that's the thing is, if I had an electric car, I'd have to open up all the windows, blast the stereo with sound effects of an engine noise.
You know. But that'll get old pretty quickly, I think.
Probably not.
Good luck.
Yeah. Ride-hailing company Uber said that it agreed to buy electric bicycle service Jump Bikes, allowing Uber to offer U.S. passengers an alternative to cars and further consolidating the crowded bike-sharing industry. Jump is a dockless electric bike service that has rolled out in San Francisco, where it has 250 bikes, and Washington. About 100 Jump employees will join Uber. Jump Bikes in January integrated its service with Uber's smartphone app in San Francisco so that users could find one of Jump's bright red bicycles by opening the Uber app.
Mm-hmm.
Now, an Uber spokeswoman said the company had no plans to withdraw the standalone Jump app.
Interesting. So,
now you can get a bike or a car with Uber. But I guess if you got a bike, you can't ride yourself. You have to drive yourself.
I would think.
Yeah.
Which could be dangerous if you don't know where you're going and you're having to watch your phone and use Google Maps or something at the same time.
We need like Uber for rickshaws. So it's like having a bike, but you don't have to ride yourself. You just sit in the back. And
a Rick Uber.
Yeah.
Or a Uber Shaw.
Uber Shaw. I like that.
Uber Shaw.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they'll jump on that. Probably not.
Yeah.
But I think in heavily trafficked areas, you know, downtown areas, New York, Miami, whatever, that might work. Because you can get in and out of traffic in some cases.
Yeah.
Or at least a two-seat bicycle.
Well, you know, and when they have the big boat show down here, they have the Uber boat service, which is just like the Uber cars, but it's with boats.
Kind of like a water taxi?
Yeah.
Only
but it's Uber. And
Uber.
In Vegas, they've had the Uber chopper with helicopter service.
Ooh, now see, that's what I want to use. I love helicopters.
Yeah,
I've never used Uber chopper.
I'm waiting for that to come
chopper.
Down here. I probably would want to spend the money for it, but I would want to ride in it.
Yeah. Imagine surge time, too.
Oh,
it would
yeah.
really cost you.
Uh-huh.
What would surge time be in the air? I don't know. And will they deposit you, like, right on the strip?
Well, that's the thing. It probably wouldn't pick you up right in front of your house.
No, probably not. You'd have to drive somewhere,
yeah.
like, to the airport
so
to be picked up.
So if I have a car, why would I even need to use that?
Well, see, now you've ruined
at least,
it.
At least hover over my house, drop a rope ladder so I can climb up there. That, you know, make it exciting.
Oh, I'd see you climbing up the rope ladder of an
okay,
Uber helicopter.
I'll make it up a few, then I'll just hold on and say, all right, pull me up.
Just take me there and then just lower me down. You don't even have to land.
Yeah, just put the baskets that they use for rescues. Just put those there. I'll lay down in it and I'll enjoy the view.
As you spin around and get dizzy.
You know, feed down a margarita on a rope or something.
Well, you have it all worked out.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty clever. More than one-third of those who own smart home devices had technical problems with the devices in the past year, compared with 28% in 2016, says Park Associates, which adds that the trend is driving a higher demand for tech support. Meanwhile, problems with consumer computers and entertainment devices have declined more than 50% since 2014. Are you hopefully one of those that has had fewer problems with your tech devices, not more problems?
Well, I don't usually have problems with my smart home devices, but the other day my Nest thermostat kept telling me on the app that it was offline. And it, for like 10 minutes, I was trying to change it and it kept saying offline, but I didn't want to get – finally, I had to get up and walk upstairs.
Oh, no.
And check it. But by the time I got up there, it was fixed and connected and, you know, it's like, you know, I think it was just trying to get me off the couch.
Well, see, it's part of the health app.
Sure.
To just say, Chris, come up here, up the stairs. You need to move. And then by the time you get here, everything will be fine.
I bought their thermostat, so I didn't have to get off the couch and go up the stairs.
Oh. Well, that apparently didn't work out so well for you.
No, not so well.
All right, then.
California's public utility regulator signaled that it would allow self-driving car companies to transport passengers without a backup driver in the vehicle. A step forward for autonomous car developers, just as the industry faces heightened scrutiny over safety concerns. The California Public Utilities Commission issued a proposal that could clear the way for companies such as Alphabet's Waymo and General Motors to give members of the public a ride in a self-driving car without any backup driver present, which has been the practice of most companies so far. The proposal would clear the way for autonomous vehicle companies to do more testing and get the public more closely acquainted with driverless cars in a state that has closely regulated the industry. It also comes as regulators across the country are taking a harder look at self-driving cars in the aftermath of a Uber crash in Arizona that killed a pedestrian.
Yeah, and they had a driver who was apparently looking down at their phone and then looked up at the last second as the car hit the woman and the bicycle. Who was, by the way, not crossing in a crosswalk and in a very dark area and just, bam, happened. That the car couldn't stop, didn't see her in with any of the sensors and cameras and everything else, and neither did the backup driver. So you got to wonder, how effective is a backup driver? So we shall see. Foxconn Technologies subsidiary Siren Labs is working on the world's first phone designed to store and facilitate the use of blockchain. Been talking a lot more about blockchain for a while. The device known as Finny will provide security through iris and fingerprint detection and allow users to convert currency into blockchain without an exchange. Okay, so if that means anything to anybody out there that deals with cryptocurrencies and blockchain, good for you.
That's all.
And Foxconn, of course, the makers, the ones who put together your iPhones.
Yeah, it's all crypto Greek to me.
No, it's currency, cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
Okay. The Microsoft CEO announced a company reorganization with some big changes coming to the unit housing Windows development and Surface computers. In fact, the unit called Windows Devices Group has been dissolved. Ooh. A new unit called Experiences and Devices, where they come up with these names, will be led by Executive Vice President Rajesh Shah. Other parts are moving the company's Cloud Plus AI group. The Microsoft CEO also said that Windows development leader Terry Myerson is leaving the company. Microsoft is making these moves because the PC market is no longer growing much, if at all. Its cloud and subscription businesses are growing, however. Windows remains the company's cash cow in the enterprise, but consumer adoption of Windows 10 remains less than what Microsoft predicted, reaching only a little over 600 million users using Windows 10. How about that? 400 million less than the 1 billion that they predicted at the operating system's release. Throw the failure of Windows Phone into the mix, and that doesn't paint a pretty picture at all. These moves do not mean Microsoft is giving up on Windows, however, but merely refocusing its efforts on what it believes is the future of computing. Software as a service, like Office 365, Azure, and artificial intelligence, much like IBM downplayed its PC business in the early 2000s, and that was a big mistake for them. If Microsoft were to begin ignoring their non-enterprise consumer-oriented customers, would you consider switching to Mac OS, Linux, maybe ditch traditional computing altogether and go the route of the Chromebook like H has done? And many people are continuing to do. Well, let us know what you think. And would you do that if Microsoft starts ignoring consumer Windows at some point in the probably very near future? Would you jump ship then? Linux, Mac OS? Let us know. 800-899-INTO. That's 800-899-4686. We want to know. Jeff in Palestine, Texas, listens on KNET, 1450 AM. Hello, Jeff.
There's lots of us out there that used to use and continue to use scientific calculators. It's hard to find an app for a phone that replicates the true scientific calculators of yesterday. Do you have any suggestions, or maybe an app store that we might find these types of programs or apps so that we can continue to use our favorite calculator, but on our smartphone?
Well, good point, Jeff. There are some graphing and scientific calculator apps for your phone, but it's likely that none of them will be able to fully replace your actual scientific calculator. Scientific calculators are surprisingly complex, and even though your phone can certainly perform all the same functions, not many companies want to release a 99-cent app that will make their $100-plus calculators obsolete, and not many individuals want to spend hours and hours working on a complex calculator that unfortunately only a few people need these days, and they won't be able to sell for a lot of money.
Yeah, and of course, you know, I'm not sure how it works on Android, but you know, on the iPhone, you open your calculator app, and I'm even showing Dave in the studio, if you have it up, you know, in portrait mode, it's the normal calculator, but if you turn it in landscape mode, the calculator then magically becomes a scientific calculator.
It's as if by magic, and all you did was rotate the phone.
All I did was rotate the phone.
Oh, now it's back to a calculator. Ooh. Now it's back to scientific.
Yeah. Okay. Now, so you might, you know, give that a try as well. I don't know that it'll do everything that these scientific, you know, standalone calculators will do. But you know, having said that, you may be able to replace the functions you need by using one or more apps. And don't forget, you also have access to the internet, where you can access resources like Wolfram Alpha. You asked about apps, though, and you can definitely find some that try to replicate what scientific calculators can do, so we'll give you some that you can try.
If you're looking for a full graphing calculator alternative, first of all, before we get into a lot of this, know that it's going to be all in our show notes. Look for the show for the weekend of April 13th, 2018, and just visit us at intotomorrow.com. In this case, hour three, you'll see your question and our detailed answer. So if you're looking for a full graphing calculator alternative to give your TI-84 a rest, you can try Graphing Calculator on Android or Free Graphing Calculator on iOS. MathWay may be an interesting iOS app to have a look at, too. It has a different layout from classic calculators, but you might like it. If you're looking for a simpler numerical scientific calculator, your built-in calculator app may be enough. But if you want something more powerful, RealCalc on Android or Calc Made Easy on iOS may be for you.
Yeah, the nice thing is that all these apps are free to try. Some offer in-app purchases that get rid of some ad banners, but you can download any of them, play around, and see how you like them. And if they don't work for you, you can keep using your trusty old calculator, and you will have wasted exactly $0.
Yeah. Jeff, I hope we've helped you out with some ideas there. And as Chris mentioned, download them and give them a try for free. If you can put up with the ads, that's terrific. If you use it a lot and you say, okay, now they're just annoying, but it's $1.99 or something reasonable, and you like it, you use it, it's exactly what you want, hey, then you spring for it, and you're a happy camper. Let us know if any of the suggestions we made are helpful or what you end up with, because it'll help other listeners too. 800-899-INTO. Maybe you've got some additional input for Jeff for a scientific calculator. 1-800-899-4686. Meantime, we'll meet you at intotomorrow.com.
Think you're stuck with slow internet because of where you live? Think again. Do what we did and order HughesNet, America's number one choice for satellite internet. HughesNet delivers the speed you need with the data you want and is available where you live. Own a business? HughesNet has plans for you too. Text RADIO to 35000 for offers in your area. That's RADIO to 35000. HughesNet, high-speed internet available where you live or work.
You know, today is so yesterday, and that's why we're bringing you Into Tomorrow each and every week right here on what is no doubt your favorite radio station, podcast, stream, however you hear Into Tomorrow. We want to hear from you. It's that important. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline.
It's time for our Info History Feature. IFA is one of the largest and oldest tech shows in the world. With this week's look back at IFA's historic past,
Here's Chris Graveline.
Graveline.
In 1971, the Funk Ausstellung was officially renamed International Funk Ausstellung.
Can you say that on the radio?
I just did.
Okay. We did, too, the first several years broadcasting from there.
Yes.
And then they became much more international by just saying IFA.
Which is the short version of International Funk Ausstellung.
I know, but they never use that anymore.
Right.
Because it's not the German show. It's an international show.
They just go by IFA.
Right.
They've had exhibitors from all over the world. Philips and Grundig that year showed the prototype of the world's first video cassette recorder based on the VCR standard. The tape was housed in a cassette with two loops of tape on top, one on top of the other. As a timer and alarm clock was built in, recording time was up to an hour. And that's this week's IFA update brought to you by Messe Berlin. Be sure to visit ifa-berlin.com.
And we will be visiting them as well in Berlin in September. Look for a couple of weeks' worth of coverage. Our 16th year coming up this year from IFA. And we'll see you at intotomorrow.com.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-806-3752. That's 800-806-3752.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-806-3752. That's 800-806-3752.
Every day, in almost every way, this digital revolution that we're in the midst of is most certainly changing our lives. We hope for the better. I'm Dave Graveline. We at Into Tomorrow are here to help either way. So if you've got a question, a concern, a comment, maybe you just want to share some tech rage, or perhaps you just want to share what your favorite app is these days, we love to hear from our audience. And you make the broadcast each and every week. Your questions and concerns and comments help for other listeners. Some of our best calls are when other listeners are saying, hey, I've got some additional input from what you guys provided, or you were totally wrong. Here's what you should have told the person. Whatever it is, we want to hear from you. Let us send you prizes for participating on the show. Our next guest is looking to create the perfect currency developed by computer scientists to be the best money humanly possible. The creator of Cloud Coin is Sean Worthington. Sean, welcome Into Tomorrow. How you doing?
Very good. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. A lot of discussion lately. I don't have to tell you, but even from our audience, a lot of questions and concerns about cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and just all sorts of things that have had people very confused. Some have said, wow, I was smart enough to buy some of fill in the blank, you know, early on, and I've made a lot of money. Others said, I've lost everything. And I mean, and all in between. What can you share, first of all, before we get into what Cloud Coin is all about, in terms of what's going on these days with all this cyber security or cyber currency, I guess I should say?
Yes. Well, we're having a bubble, and it's a very clear, simple bubble. When people first got involved with digital currencies, they were interested in buying and selling things with it. And then we found it very useful for buying things overseas. You could buy $1 million worth of oil in Venezuela and get around all the tariffs that they've got over there. But every month, the value started going up, as opposed to the regular government-type money that seems to go down in value.
Yeah.
And people made money, and when you see other people making money, you want to make money too. So we started seeing people start to invest, and then they started using their credit cards to buy, and then they started mortgaging off their homes to buy Bitcoin and different digital currencies. So it's gotten pretty crazy, and it's a classical bubble.
And I'm sure it's safe to say Bitcoin made the biggest bang, at least so far, in this cryptocurrency industry, has it not?
That's right. It's the first mover. It was the first technology or the first one to be able to solve what's called the physical integrity problem of digital money. The problem is, how can you stop somebody from counterfeiting something that's digital? They can just copy and paste it a million times. And how can you stop the government from coming in and just shutting off the servers so the whole system doesn't work? And they were able to figure that out with the blockchain.
And has that been, like, the big problem? Because obviously, despite its enormous popularity, Bitcoin certainly was what a lot of people were talking about. Many saying, perhaps rightly so in the long run, that I'll skip that, thanks. But I'll keep an eye because it looks interesting. Others, again, as we mentioned, made some money doing this. Certainly the comparison you drew to government currencies, you know, up and down and usually down and you know, trading and just so many bizarre things occur. But at least it's the government money, and hopefully, depending on the government, is good, even if it's less, you know, if it's gone down in value. But this whole, like Bitcoin and others, seems to be an issue. But counterfeiting, was that kind of the single biggest problem that they were then able to solve? And if so, why are they still seemingly headed for major problems?
Well, they have some fundamental qualities. Unfortunately, one of those qualities is not scalability. And that means that the more people that use it, the slower it gets. And so Bitcoin's great as long as you're not trying to do more than 7 transactions per second. Once you hit that barrier, everything starts to slow down. People start getting frustrated. So there's some fundamental problems with the blockchain. And
are there that many people, Sean, that are trying to do more than 7 transactions per second?
Yes.
Wow.
So they have gone to these exchanges that have popped up. They've tried to buy things, and now the transaction rate is about, well, it takes about 20 hours to confirm a transaction.
Oh, geez.
So that's way too long for any kind of retail use.
And yet we hear a lot about blockchain these days as being something very good and very favorable. I guess in this case, that's not the case?
Well, the blockchain is the first algorithm that allows us to permanently store some information. So it creates a database in which you can write transactions to, and you can read those transactions, but you can't delete any of the transactions that have happened, and you cannot update them or change them. And what this allows us to do is to track currency from one person to another person and see a whole chain of how that money changed hands. And that's a good way to stop counterfeiting, but it takes about 150 gigabytes worth of data right now, and it's growing. And it also records everybody's transactions, which is undesirable. Mm. So there's a lot of good things about it. If you want to permanently store something, then the blockchain is good for that.
And it sounds like that's not a good idea, an acceptable idea for example, retail use. We're not going to go into Macy's and use Bitcoin or anybody else to buy stuff. Or do you see that happening?
No, it's not going to happen because it would take forever to do that. And if everybody did it, then Bitcoin would be done for. But we have created something called Cloudcoin, and that does not track everybody's transaction. That just checks to see if the money is counterfeit or not. That only takes less than a second. Hmm. And we use another algorithm called RADA instead of the blockchain. The RADA is the Redundant Array of Independent Detection Agents, and it allows us to quickly track the money and stop all counterfeiting without having to record every transaction and without even knowing who did what.
And yet the similar security is there, I'm assuming.
Yes. So one of the main things is that it cannot be shut down. It's got to be nuclear safe. It's got to be safe so if a government decides it doesn't like it, the government is actually unable to do anything about it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's kind of cool. It seems like any time you can keep any government out of it, it's got to be a favorable thing. I'm noticing on your website at cloudcoin.global, it says, developed by computer scientists to be the best money humanly possible, now in pre-release. What does the pre-release part mean, and when is it going to be readily available for everyone if they choose to go that route?
Unlike other currencies, we spend our money into existence, and so we have about 60 tranches of the money, and we've already turned out about 14 of them, and so we're going to be turning out.
What are tranches? Is that what you call
tranches?
Yeah.
That's just where we take a bunch of money and divide it in the 60 different parts.
Oh, okay. Send some this way if you'd like. So you, it sounds like, you know, you're just emptying your pockets and distributing it in different places. So, but how does that benefit somebody who might then invest in cloud coins?
Well, you know, Cloudcoin, when we created it, we had no idea that people would be interested in investing in it, because when you think about money, it doesn't seem like it's an investment.
Hmm.
It seems like something that you have and you spend, where, you know, if you're going to buy stocks, that might be an investment, or if you're going to buy bonds, that's an investment. But buying a currency doesn't seem like it's going to be an investment unless you're just trying to buy and trade. But it turns out that it is an investment. But what we do is we hire programmers and we hire system administrators, and they're developing the whole Cloudcoin system and all of the software that goes around it. And we're going to be done distributing all the money out of the mint in about 4 years, roughly.
And so what does that mean then, that it's then no longer available, or you just have to use what there is and hopefully others are trading in Cloudcoin in order to do business with them, or what happens in 4 years?
Well, we see Cloudcoin as being a currency that can be used globally. And so although we're distributing it in a way that is unusual in that we're not having an ICO and we're just selling it for other dollars or something, we think that there's going to be a very strong Cloudcoin economy, and people can buy it right now. They can go Google buy Cloudcoin. They can find people that will sell it to them, and we're going to have an exchange, a regular international exchange here in the next month. So it'll be just like any other currency and liquid like that.
Hmm. And so how does one go about storing cloud coins then? If I buy some, and by the way, how much does it cost to buy? How do you compare it? Is it compared to a U.S. dollar, or how do we even know what we're getting?
Well, right now it is for sale about for 5 cents, but there's lots of different people that are selling them. There's lots of different prices. We don't have a centralized market yet. When you get it, the first thing you have to do is you have to pwn it. And pwn is a word that we created. It means password own. All of the cloud coins have passwords, and you've got to go and change all of those because whoever knows the passwords is the owner.
Okay. And for 5 cents each, heck, send me a buck's worth. I'll see what happens. It sounds certainly reasonable, like you don't have to be spending thousands of dollars to get involved and then hope that you can then use your cloud coin. Is anybody accepting it for goods or services yet?
There are some places in Serbia, believe it or not.
In Serbia. I shop there regularly.
All right. But we're still developing what's called the SDK, the software development kit.
Right.
We think that's going to be done within the next month. And this Cloudcoin is the first currency that can be imported into video games or exported out of video games or imported into any software. So it's going to be a big revolution, I think. Wow. We're just getting started with the software.
But John, you're a delight to chat with. I wish you well in Cloudcoin, and let's stay in touch. We'll see how things develop and keep track of what you guys are doing.
Sounds wonderful. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. I'm Dave Graveline. We continue right here on the Advanced Media Network.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-665-6113. 800-665-6113.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-665-6113. 800-665-6113. 800-665-6113.
covering the nearly $350 billion consumer electronics industry for 23 years now. I'm Dave Graveline. You're tuned into Tomorrow. Erasmo and Horatio in the control room.
I'm Chris Graveline, reminding you that this portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by StreamGuys.com, providing the audio streaming for all 3 hours of Into Tomorrow via our website at IntoTomorrow.com and on our free Into Tomorrow apps.
There you go. Gotta love it. One way or the other, you can hear Into Tomorrow anytime at your leisure, various and sundry ways. Adam in Windsor, Ontario, listens on 800-CKLW, the information station. Hello, Adam.
What happens if your hard drive crashes?
Well, you're in trouble. Next call.
Call AAA.
Call AAA?
Crash?
No. But, Adam, it is a good question, albeit very, very short. There are different things that can happen with a hard drive. You can have a software problem, such as when your computer crashes or reboots just as it's writing data to the hard drive. In that case, the drive itself hasn't crashed. The hardware is fine, fortunately, but the data on the hard drive is corrupted. And you'd have to reformat and reload all your software. It's still a hard drive crash, but it's not a hard drive failure. Now, when the hard drive itself fails, when the drive has to be replaced and you reload your software from backups, reloading your operating system can be difficult. Depending on whether you have a recovery disk or not, Mac users, current generation machines can just simply boot to the recovery partition and reinstall their operating system over the internet. Windows users will require a physical disk, at least for the initial install. Thank you, Microsoft.
Now, reloading your applications usually isn't too hard, even if you don't have the original disks or media. There are very few programs that don't offer online installation options, or at least you can download the installation software as long as you can prove ownership of the software, which is a good reason to register all of your purchased software and be sure that you keep order numbers, customer account information, and so forth.
Yeah, I know it's a pain, but it will come in handy if and when you need it, and it's likely when you need it.
Well, yeah, I mean, just last week I was reinstalling stuff on my computer, and I had to go back to an email from about 4 years ago that had the serial number that I needed to activate the software I was installing.
Oh, geez.
So always keep that stuff, especially if it has a software serial number in
it.
Now, reloading your data depends on your backup. Using a cloud service like Dropbox or Google Drive with their desktop apps, then storing all of your data files in those folders should make this simple. You would just reload the desktop app, reconnect it to your cloud account, and watch as the files are synchronized back to your new hard drive. If you can't or won't use a cloud service, then you should make good backups to an external hard drive for safekeeping.
I hope that helps you out, Adam. Let us know if it doesn't, and we'll dig even deeper for you. But it was a good, quick, short, and sweet question. We tried to expand on it in the answer for you, and we do want to hear from you. And because Adam called in, even though it was 3 seconds, the entire length of his call, we heard him on the air. And that means he gets automatically some cool prizes. So we're about to share with you what we've got available these days when you call into the program. No promises, no guarantees, but tell us if any of these items, maybe mention a second item too as a backup, you would like. We will do our best to get that item to you. For example, from UDock, we've got some UDock 550 docking stations where you can charge multiple mobile devices in one place. This big, long thing sits on your desk and has all different kind of plug adapters. Works really well.
From HyperX, we've got a cloud pro gaming headset compatible with Mac, PC, PS4, and mobile.
From Killer Concepts, Piggy Pro phone stands. They sound kind of unusual, but they're really cool razor-thin stands that sticks to the back of any phone and even most cases. And you can prop it up for watching a video or for being on a speakerphone or FaceTiming or doing any number of things. People have been requesting those. They're really cool.
It's a silly name, but a cool product.
Yeah, very true.
From eBags, quick charge batteries. Call it what you like. A battery, a power bank, a quick charge. We think of it as a lifeboat.
There you go. From My Phone Pouch, some soft, stretchy pouches to carry your cell phone hands-free and a bunch of different designs and whatnot. We've got some of those for you.
And from Acali, we've still got a couple of the aluminum laptop stands.
Yeah, you need to get your laptop higher off the desk. Little airflow underneath. We got those for you, too. So as I mentioned, no promises, no guarantees. But when we hear you, you call in and you're going to be on the air. Tell us what you'd like. We'll do our best to get that to you. And, of course, that number to call in anytime 24/7 is
800-899-INTO. That's 800-899-4686.
Money, 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 money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-948-6519. 800-948-6519. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-948-6519. 800-948-6519. 800-948-6519. That's 800-948-6519. NMLS number 1136.
Translating Tech to English, you're tuned into tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline. This portion of the program is brought to you by the OWC Thunderblade. For the creative professional who needs the absolute fastest storage with transfer speeds up to 2,800 megabytes per second. Learn more at owcdigital.com.
Robert in Santa Fe, New Mexico, listening on Talk 1260 AM KTRC. Hello, Robert.
I have a Star Wars version HP Pavilion. The hard drive seized, and I'm thinking of putting a SATA drive in and beefing up the RAM on it to 16 gig. Problem being that because the hard drive is seized, I can't get Windows 10 off of it nor any of my pictures. I need any suggestions you have.
Well, Robert, you wouldn't be able to get Windows 10 off of your old drive for installation on your new drive anyway. So we're going to suggest you buy a copy, of the operating system from any computer software retailer. Normally, we'd suggest to use a recovery partition of your current drive to reinstall Windows, but since the old drive is dead, there's little that can be done there.
Yeah, and you can purchase a downloaded version of Windows 10 from Microsoft for $120 for their home version, so that's easy.
Yeah.
To install the new drive into the computer, we suggest SSD. It's fast and less prone to death. Install Windows and then connect your old drive to the PC via SATA to USB enclosure. Insignia makes a great inexpensive model. This will allow you to navigate your old drive and copy over any old files that you want to your new drive. That's assuming the data on the old drive isn't corrupted. In that case, you'll need to just take it to an expert data recovery shop, which can be costly.
And Robert, please consider using some kind of cloud-based backup solution. Even Windows' built-in OneDrive service is going to provide robust and foolproof backup for all of your precious personal files. Let us know how that works out for you. And if you've got a question we can address, 800-899-INTO anytime, and you can hear all 3 hours at intotomorrow.com.
Bringing you the latest in consumer electronics and technology, this has been Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline. To participate with Dave and his tech geniuses and win prizes anytime 24/7, use our free Into Tomorrow app for your iPhone, Android, and netbooks, available in your App Store, or call 1-800-899-INTO. That's 1-800-899-4686. Be sure to visit our website anytime to read our show notes and watch our ITTV videos at intotomorrow.com. And join us next week as we bring you further Into Tomorrow.